Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome all of you beautiful people who have given me the honor of your time once again. This is Bishop Randy Dean. It is, seriously, I mean this. This is a pleasure to me. It's an honor for me that you've chosen to give me this time, that you've tuned in here either by chance or on purpose, and I am blessed by it. So pull up a chair, get a cup of coffee, a drink of your choice for the moment, get nice and comfortable. I welcome you to my pastoral study. I've been a minister, pastor, preacher, counselor, emotional firefighter for 50 years. I've had some beautiful experiences. I've had some painful experiences, and I want to talk to you about that today in terms of how pain affects our life. But I just want you to know that there's something built into me by my life and my experiences. There's something that has been created in me that I find is valuable and I want to give to others. It's my responsibility, first of all, but most of all, it is my joy to be able to share my wisdom as a pastor of a half a century. So welcome to my pastoral counsel moment. And I want to talk to you today about love, the highest value in all of human life. I'm alive to love. All lesser values, I believe, can slide into and devolve into BS, which is bait and switch or something else. Whatever it is, it's not helpful. But love alone is helpful. Love alone is credible. Love alone rises to the occasion of sustaining the human existence in something that is more beautiful. And I'm going to recognize today something that I know you all know, but it's important for me to say it. Love alone maintains beauty, but love alone helps us to maintain our sanity when everything seems to be on fire, when everything seems to be going wrong, when everything seems to be against you and not for you. Love is that which can create for you and for me a way out and a way through our difficulties. So get comfortable. Here we go. I want to give you my best counsel for your life going forward. But before we get there, one of the things I start the No BS Bishop Alive to Love broadcast with is Love's Creed. I wrote this and I give it to you on a weekly basis so that, like a vow at a wedding altar or like a creed in a worship service, you can say this as your baseline, as driving a stake in the ground to say, I'm going to start here. Everywhere else I go, at least I will start with this creed, with this promise, my devotion is this. So let me give it to you in total, and then I'll go back and give it to you in partial ways so that it's like a vow at a wedding altar so that you can make your vow to yourself and to God. Here it is, Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. Now, let me give it to you like the vows at a wedding altar, and I'll give it to you in slow portions, small portions, so that you can repeat after me. Are you ready? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed as I've written it. If you'd like a copy of that, shoot me an email and I'll get it back to you in a written form. My email address is randydeanministries@gmail.com. Let me know what you would like there. And if you have questions, or maybe you have a topic or two you'd like for me to discuss, I'd be delighted to do that. It would be a pleasure to hear what it is that you would like me to discuss with reference to my mainstay here, love. Anything and everything I believe life comes to can be defined by, shaped, held, and moved forward by love. Love is the energy of life. Love is the life's electricity. Without love, we're flat. Without love, we're doomed. Without love, we're cornered. We're in a deadlock. But when love is present, when we can hold to love going forward in life, no matter what the circumstance, when we can hold to love, love keeps us moving. Love keeps us drawing another breath and keeps me saying, I'm alive to love. I'm not here for any other purpose than love. So I said earlier I wanted to talk to you about what life is like in terms of its hardships, in terms of its pain, in terms of its raw reality. There's no mistaking it. Every one of us have emotionally and metaphorically had a head-on collision with difficulty. Every one of us. There's no doubt in my mind that your life has been one series of difficulties after another. And how do I know that? I know that's the human condition. I know that to be the case in my life. I've met more than my fair share of difficulties. And then as a pastor, I've been invited into the difficulties of others. And I've seen firsthand how life can be excruciatingly difficult. One of the great books of all time, I believe, in terms of modern American writing, is The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck. The opening line of that book says this: life is difficult. So right away, all of us need to start with those words. Life is difficult. M. Scott Peck goes on to say that every religion, every philosophy, every psychological study, in some way or another, manages that reality. Life is difficult. None of us arrive in this planet without some difficulty. Every one of us born of a mama, we are here with difficulty. Difficulty in some level, even if it's just the simplicity of the difficulty of childbirth. We all came through that difficulty. But the truth is, from there forward, everything is some form of childbirth. Everything we live is some form of birthing another stage in our life, another chapter, another point of reference that goes against the grain of life itself. Or maybe we're faced with impassable roads that emotionally and relationally, and we just don't know what to do. And then there we are, being born again, and it's with difficulty we all march forward in life. One of the things that I've regularly reminded myself of is that when I'm faced with challenge and difficulty, I have to see that this is not some kind of personal vendetta of God. God has never been the author of seeing to it that I am the target of his aim to make my life hard. The book of Job, the book of Job is such a treasure. Some people avoid it because they know Job drags you through that keyhole backwards to see this dear man's life. But you know, the book of Job starts off by telling us that Job was an upright man. Job was a good man. Job didn't have it coming. Job hadn't done anything that made him deserve the difficulties that came his way. And so that in Job's life, his comforters, the Job's comforters, that raw reality that we all have, somebody that seems to know exactly what it is we deserve, Job's comforters come along to tell us, well, you know, if things were really as good as you say, you wouldn't be going through this. And then that becomes our own narrative. It becomes our own internal dialogue. It becomes our own talking point within us. I said last week, I want to repeat it again. We don't talk to anybody in this world more than we talk to ourselves. You know that's true? I've heard people try to tell me that, oh, they pray more than they talk to anybody. And I'll smile and wave that off because I know better. We talk to ourselves more than we talk to any other human being, because that conversation's going on even in our sleep. That's what happens in dreams, right? When we're dreaming, we're talking to ourselves. We're defining life. We're seeing life as we have learned to define it. So every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we're talking to ourselves. And that narrative, that self-talk has a tendency when things get bad and difficult, when life is truly difficult, we talk to ourselves in ways that is unhelpful. And so I'm proposing to you today that love is not only a necessary component when life is difficult, but love is absolutely the way through it and out of difficulty. Love is the way through difficulty. Love is the way out of difficulty. Love is the path, the maintenance of our steps. Love sustains our ability to keep walking, keep going for love. Not just because you have to have love coming your way, and you do. Hear me, dear one. I believe that every one of you, everybody listening to me, deserves love coming your way. And I know this, that God is love, and love is God, and those who dwell in God dwell in love. And if you will take one step toward God, you will find His love aimed at you, washing over you. But I know this, that in that love, there is a way to sustain your steps. Just keep loving forward. No, don't just keep lunging and stumbling. Determine, like in love's creed, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. So that when I'm faced with challenges, when it I know what it is. It seems like when I wake up in the morning, face plant will I do today? What new moment will I hit me with? Today's going to be a tough one. Well, what I have to make sure I'm doing in my conversation with me is to keep saying, I'm going to love my way through this. I'm going to at least love myself through this. I'm going to love my torturers through this. I'm going to love those who have misused or misrepresented me. I will love them forward so that in the end of this difficulty, and there will be an end to it, I will find myself having loved well, even if all else didn't go well. I think of this topic in regard to, here's Jesus in his crucifixion, hanging there in utter torture. Crucifixion victims were literally tortured to death. It was not the instantaneous lethal injection. It wasn't the electric chair that took care of that sad, ugly business in just a few moments. But crucifixion was intentionally long, and it was intention to give the crucifixion victim a full vista of everybody at your feet, either weeping and sobbing or making fun of you, if you can imagine that. And there you hung to die. And what Jesus did in his crucifixion was amazing. He loved his way through it. He forgave participants. He forgave them, and even he forgave the indifferent critics, because there were indifferent critics right there, because there were folks that were around him at his feet, who were just there to do their job. If you can imagine that, sure, they had punched a clock of their day, and there they were to do their job, because after all, they didn't want to end up being a crucifixion victim, so there they were to do their painful, ugly, sad job. And Jesus looked around himself. He looked around at all of those folks, those who were lying about him, those who were ridiculing him. There were shouts at him from below as he hung on the cross. Yeah, if you were the Son of God, surely you could pull yourself down off that cross. And as he viewed this messed up group of folks, he forgave them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here's my point. Jesus loved his way through the most excruciatingly painful moment, physically, metaphorically, emotionally, spiritually, the most painful thing that ever happened to any human being, Jesus loved his way through it and called out for forgiveness. Jesus leaves for us an example to rise to a transcendent place of love beyond all the killers around us and the crude around us, to live a larger life, a life larger than just mere survival. And like M. Scott Peck said, life is difficult. All philosophy and religion is designed to manage the difficulties of life. Here's Jesus managing the difficulty of his life, calling out for the forgiveness of these crude killers all around him, because it was his intention to live a larger life, and he leaves for us the example to live a larger life through love. The real you, in all of its glory, is available at the platform of love. If right now your life is painful, if right now your life is disappointing, if right now you're being criticized wrongly, or maybe you feel like, yeah, I had it coming, I did some bad things and I'm being criticized, whatever the case may be, love is your way through. Love is your way out. Love is your way up. Love is the human equivalent of the thrust of a rocket that lifts from a launching pad. Love is that magnificent power that pushes against gravity and says, you're not going to hold me down. I'm rising up through this. I may rise inch by inch, but I will rise. I will not stay earthbound. I will not stay painbound. I will not stay in this moment of disappointment and agony. Love lifted me is what an old song says, and I am here to tell you, whoever you are, whatever situation you're walking through, love will lift you just as surely as the rocket pushes the thrust against the earth and rises against all powers seeking to hold it down. Your real you is available upon your decision to love, to do as clearly as you know, to do as clearly as you are capable of in a given moment, to say the love's creed, even if you have to say it a few times through your teeth. I've done that. You know, I've even done the Apostles' Creed a few times with my jaw set, feeling like, ugh, I don't want to confess this again, but my heart says, come on, we must. We can't stay earthbound in our disappointments. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the things that God has given me, and the one beautifully magnificent, this is the word I'm looking for, the most magnificent gift of all that God has given me is love. I believe in a loving God. I do not believe in a God of hate. I do not believe in a God of misery or sorrow. I believe that, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, that at the end of all of life, at the judgment, we will all be faced with unarmed truth and unconditional love. And unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final say on reality. We may not be able to explain any given day, but here's what we can do. We can love. Every child born was born with the instinct to love, to find love and to give love. That's the human DNA, and it's the image of God. God is love, and love is God. That is God's DNA. When you reach for love, you've reached for God. And it is in the difficulties of life that reach becomes all the more magnificent. See, what you'll do is you'll create a memory for yourself. You'll create a new design of how to get through life when it is so, so difficult. Knowing that when we have been vulnerable enough to love when everything else is painful, when everything else is against us, we've been vulnerable enough to say, I love you. No matter what else, I love you. I walked a few of my parishioners through divorces through the years, and it's no fun. No fun at all. Certainly not for them. It's especially a death march for them, because they're putting to death something they dreamed of, and now they're having to face the end of a dream. And when I've walked parishioners through a divorce, I've had to help them understand that if you will march through this moment with love, looking at what the potential of love was that may be lost now, but recognize that I will love better, but because of this, not in spite of this. This will teach me how to be a better lover in life going forward. I will love the people around me in a whole different way now through this disappointment. I heard somebody say one time they had given their child everything they could give them. They said, my spouse and I gave them a college education the best college education money could buy because they had the wherewithal to do it. We gave our child the best car to go off to college in. We gave them all that we knew how to do to make their life as at least at the starting point successful. But this person said, the one thing we couldn't give them that would make them successful was a broken heart. That's right. And it was through a broken heart, this parent said, our child had to learn love in a whole new way, which made them stronger, better, more beautiful, and more capable of facing life going forward. I want to suggest to you, whoever you are, whatever the difficulty is in your life, love will give you the stand that you need to be able to launch forward, even slowly. Love will give you the stand to be able to move forward when you look at all of that crowd around you, like Jesus did when he hung on the cross. Look at them and find it in yourself to love even the cruelty of their behavior, even the most unfair among them, and to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And to add to that, in my forgiveness, I'm loving in the best way I know how. I do want to add this about forgiveness now that I'm on that subject. I want to make sure that you understand I know how hard forgiveness can be. Forgiveness doesn't make your perpetrators right, but it will make you right. It doesn't give them permission now to go off and hurt other people. It doesn't give them permission to continue to hurt you because I can forgive you and walk away and build a safe boundary. I can forgive you and not be reconnected to you. But I can forgive you because I don't need that poison living inside of me because I'm poisoning myself with my unforgiveness. Or in the context of my purpose here, I don't want to poison myself with being an unloving human being. I want my difficulties defined by the how I found love through it. I want my difficulties in life to be shaped not by the acrimony I feel toward people, but the determination I've made to love no matter what, no matter who, so that when I am loving in that context, in my difficulties, when I'm loving there, I'm stronger. That's what exercise does. Exercise pushes against resistance. It's the muscle memory of being able to push against a little more resistance every time you push, every time you lift, every time you run, every time you walk. That's what exercise is maintaining in you. Now, I want to suggest to you that the emotional, psychological, and spiritual exercise of love is a beautiful way to push against the resistance. When rejection is up against you, love in the face of it. When hatred has come against you, hatred is a weak little thing when it's faced with real love. Rejection, well, give rejection love. And I want you to understand, I'm not trying to suggest that by loving you have to reconnect with people who've been abusive. In fact, I would say the most loving thing you can do is to love them and walk away. And love yourself going forward, making your life stronger, better, more beautiful, because you entered into the highest human value, the most exquisitely beautiful human condition. There's no more beautiful human than the one who loves, especially in the middle of their pain. I would also suggest that your pain becomes a framework, like a portrait, a painting has a beautiful wooden frame. Your pain is like that wooden frame, but the love that's on the canvas, that's the painting. That's the work of art. Make your life a work of art in the face of difficulty. Let difficulty know it will never extinguish the flame of love in your heart. Well, we close every No BS Bishop radio broadcast with two exercises. I feel like it's really important today. And the first one is to breathe well. When you breathe well, you're lowering your heart rate, you're lowering your blood pressure, and you're giving yourself a little tiny bit of a Sabbath. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can, hold it in the bottom of your lungs, and then exhale with a sense of relief, right? Especially with today's topic. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Do that 5 minutes every day. Give yourself a little break. And the second thing I want you to do is find people to whom you can say with intention, I love you. Make it a slow and exquisitely well-painted portrait of your determination to love no matter what the cost. Give somebody the opportunity of hearing the three words maybe they haven't heard in a long time, and perhaps their difficulties are 10 times yours. Look them in the eye and say, I love you. I know it's awkward. Making eye contact and slowing those words down, it's difficult. It's challenging. I understand that, but it's worth the while for you, and it's certainly worthwhile for those receiving it. Thank you for being here today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. Let's turn our difficulties onto the mountaintop of love. Somehow climb that mountain, journey upward, do the pilgrimage of love, and you will make your life a beautiful work of art. Now go out there and do something beautiful, right? Ugly's getting done to death. Every day on the news cycle, we know that ugly seems to be winning. But let's let ugly know it's met its match. Here are the people of the creed of love, and making life beautiful is our determination. Get up, rise and shine, and know this, I love you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.